Living by faith. This describes God's people. This is the best description you can give of God's people. They believe God. They live by faith. The people of God live no other way than by faith. And it has always been by faith. In the next chapter, we have all these examples of faith. And the first ones he starts with is the all one back in Genesis, Abel. He starts with Abel. When Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, he did so by faith, trusting in the substitute, knowing that his salvation lay in another, not in turnips, not in potatoes, what Cain brought. What Cain offered unto God had no faith in it whatsoever. It was all works. It was all, look at what I've done here. You ought to be pleased. When Abraham was called to go out to a place he knew not, he went out by faith. It says he didn't know where he was going. God didn't give him a map. He told him to go. And he went out. And when Abraham was given the promise that all nations would be blessed through his seed, which is Christ, he believed God, it says. He believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Noah, moved with fear, reverent respect. God told him to build an ark. He's going to destroy the world. And it had never rained. But God told him to build this ark. I'm going to flood this world. And Noah believed him. And he moved with fear and built an ark. And the list goes on. And we'll see this, a good part of this list, in chapter 11 next time. But he says here in verse 38, now this is the sum of it. This is the sum of what I have been writing to you about. The just shall live by faith. This is written four times in the Word of God. Doug just read it to you in Galatians. Do you know that the first time this is written, you know where it is? Habakkuk. Let me read it to you in Habakkuk. I've got it marked in Habakkuk. I got it marked. Listen to this in Habakkuk. I will stand in chapter 2 of Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just. Every time Paul quotes this, he's quoting it from Habakkuk. But the just shall live by his faith. The first time that this is mentioned of living by faith, believing God, that's how the just live, is mentioned in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. Not the New Testament. The New Testament is just quoting the Old Testament. This is not a New Testament doctrine. Living by faith is as old as the beginning. Well, to tell you the truth, it goes back into eternity. It goes back into eternity. God never planned, never purposed to ever save any sinner by his works. Never. That was never, ever planned. So this being mentioned four times here in Habakkuk, in Galatians, and in Romans, and here in Hebrews. So it must be important. for it to be mentioned that many times. Martin Luther was brought to faith by this scripture. He was brought to faith, he was converted by this scripture, crawling up the steps. He's crawling up those steps. And this scripture came to his heart, it came to his mind in such power, he got up and he left that place, and thus the Reformation began. That began the Great Reformation. Now, who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? It's very plain, it's very clear here. The just. The just. No one else will or can live by faith. You cannot live by something you don't have. No more than you can fall out of a tree you've never climbed. Only the just can live by faith because they are the only ones who believe God. They are the only ones. No one else believes God. Believing there is a God is not believing God. There is a difference. Believing that God created the world is not the same as believing God who created the world. Abraham believed God. He believed what God had to say. He believed everything God had to say. The believer who believes God believes every word of this book. There's no question mark on it, is there? I believe God did flood this world. I believe at one time, the highest mountain, I think it's like 20 feet above the highest mountain, I believe God did that. I believe God parted the Red Sea. I believe He parted the Red Sea. I believe Israel walked on dry ground across through that path, and then when the Egyptians tried to go, God drowned them. I believe that. I said, how could that be? God, that's how it be. The only way I can explain it is God did it. God did it. The just are the only ones who live by faith. The just are those who are justified. That's why they're called just. They are justified. They are the ones who live. They are the ones who live before God. And they are the ones who live before God, believing God with full confidence. With full confidence in Christ as their Redeemer, as their Savior. Full confidence. They live before God by faith and not by sight. We don't live by what we see. We live by believing God. We don't live by what we believe. We live by who we believe. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. We don't believe in what, we believe in whom. Now, what does it mean to be justified? Pardon is not justified. Forgiveness is not justified. We are pardoned. We are forgiven through the blood of Christ. We are forgiven of our sins, but that's not justified. Justified is to be cleared of any and all offenses against God. There is not one offense on the books against me or against any of God, any believer. There's not one offense on the books against you. You're justified, cleared of all charges, not guilty. Not guilty. Because God justified you. The judge of all the earth justified you. He's cleared you of all offenses. Not one mark or blemish before God. That's why David wrote in Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. You know why? There's not any. It's gone. God will not impute what's not there. He only charges what's there. And Christ has so efficiently and effectively put away the sins of all His elect that there's nothing to impute. There's nothing to charge. They're all gone. They are all gone. Through the substitutionary person and work of Jesus Christ, all for whom he died are justified. And faith receives him who justifies us. Now, what shall they do? What shall they do? They shall live. Live. First, they live. They are spiritually alive. The justified are spiritually alive. No one else is. No one else is. And this is how they live on this earth. This is how they live out their spiritual life on this earth. They live it out by faith. That's how they live. They live it out by faith. By faith, believing God for all things. Now listen, I said believing God for all things. We believe God for salvation. We believe Him for forgiveness. We believe Him for pardon. We believe Him for acceptance. But I tell you what, we believe Him for providing. The Lord will provide. He's going to provide for us. He's going to provide our daily food. He's going to provide us what everything we need. Everything we need in this life, we trust God for. Don't we? We don't just trust Him for salvation, then worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or how am I going to get through the day? No, the same faith that trusts Him for eternity trusts Him for time. Take care of us today. They live before God on this earth by faith, believing God for all things. All things. For time and eternity. Spiritual life and faith go together. They can't be separated. They can't be separated. If God has given you life, spiritual life, at this, and I don't, when that happens, He's given you faith at the same time. He's given you faith. At the same time, He's given you life. It's like a child when it comes into this world. One of the first things, what's it do? When it has life, it comes into this world. It breathes. It breathes. When a sinner is born of God, the first thing it does, it believes. It believes God. It believes God. The Arminians have faith preceding life, or they have it the cause of spiritual life. I came out of that. No, that's not so. Here's the truth. We live. You know why we live? Because He lives. John 14:19. Turn over there. Here's why I live. I don't live because I believe. I believe because I live. And that is not a play on words. In verse 19 of John chapter 14, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. That's why you live. That's why you live. Christ rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And I have life through Him who is my life. He is my life. And this is very important here. Now listen. The Lord Jesus Christ is our life. Because I live, you shall live also. Faith is not my life. Jesus Christ is my life. I don't live upon my faith. Faith does not live upon faith. Real God-given faith lives upon Jesus Christ. We never live upon faith or because of faith. We live upon our Lord. When Christ, it says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The just live by faith and not by experience. We do not keep looking back, reaching back to a time or an experience we had years ago. Faith is always looking to Christ, looking, as it says in Hebrews here, I think it's in, yeah, it's in Hebrews, I forget the chapter. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's chapter 12, verse 2. That's what faith is doing. It's not looking back. It's looking to Him. Looking to Christ crucified is looking to Him now. You know, John said, I saw a lamb as it stood in the midst of the throne, slain. I saw a lamb slain. We look to Him constantly. We look to Him presently. Presently. It's looking to Christ. Faith does not live upon its experience, and faith does not live upon excitement. You know, I don't have to come here and just feel like, you know, we're just all just tore up and Pentecostal is what I'm thinking of. Just a bunch of hoodoo going on, and then you got to have it again next week. And you got to have it again next week, like an adrenaline rush. Faith lives upon Christ when you can't feel anything. When you feel like the Lord's clean gone, you still take His word and you live upon Christ. When you can't even detect His presence, you got His word. Let me give you a few words here about saving faith. This faith He's speaking of here. Faith, this faith here that the just shall live by, is the gift of God. Paul said, all men have not faith. All who claim to have faith have not faith. But everyone, the just, have faith. And it's the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. The human heart will never, never, never believe God. Christ said in John 5, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You will receive him, you will believe him, but me you won't believe. And you won't receive me, you don't have anything to do with me. But you have. You have. You've received him, you've believed him. That is the gift of God. God's given that to you. How precious is that? That's why faith is so precious. Because God has given it. It's a gift. He didn't give that to everybody. The Word of God tells us the natural mind is enmity against God. And when I was born into this world, when you were born into this world, every last one of us was born into this world with this enmity. At war with God. Every last one of us was at war with God at one time. And because of the love of God and the grace of God, He reached down and had mercy on us, lifted us out of the pit, gave us a new heart, and a right spirit, and His love was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You love God, you believe God, because you can't help it. God has done such a mighty work in you that you can't help but believe. You can't help but love Him. You know, love responds to love. Love responds to love. It's all the work of God. You know what the difference is between a false faith and real faith. You know why real faith grows? If you have it, I'm telling you, if you truly believe God, I promise you this, you're going to grow. You're going to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference between false faith and real faith is this. Real faith has its roots in Jesus Christ. I'm the vine, you're the branches. It has its roots, it has its very connection to Jesus Christ. False faith is nothing but a stick in the ground. You ever see a stick produce anything? Go stick a stick in the ground. That's false faith. False faith is nothing but a stick in the ground. True faith has roots. And it blossoms. And the fruit of it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. That's the fruit of it. The fruit of the Spirit is a fruit of it. God-given faith completely, 100% relies on Jesus Christ for wisdom. I know this. Apart from Christ, I am ignorant. I am ignorant. Now, that's offensive. To call somebody ignorant is offensive. But I know, apart from Christ, I am ignorant. I don't know God. Not by nature. I did not know God. Not one of us knew God. We did not come into this world with a knowledge of God, an understanding of who God is. Trying to think of that scripture. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, and the strong man glory in his might, but let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. God's given us an understanding. And then this faith by which the just live by, it is the foundation of every grace. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I wrote a little article. I think it was this week's bulletin. I wrote just a little article. It's impossible to please God. It's also impossible to have real joy. It's impossible to have real love. It's impossible to have real peace. It's impossible to have real contentment. It's impossible to have real assurance. In fact, it's impossible to have salvation at all, apart from faith. Someone said, the measure of every grace in us is this. Our Lord said this. According to your faith, so be it. According to your faith, so be it. Now, what are the blessings that come to us through faith? Well, not necessarily in this order, but first of all, peace with God. The war is over. The war is over. Peace with God. You know, right now, I hate to talk about hell. I don't like to talk about it because it's very real. The torment is very real. But here we sit. Here we have the gospel being preached. We have God's word open. And there are people who are dying right now that are perishing, have no hope whatsoever. And yet we have peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And then we have access into this grace, he says, wherein we stand. In verse 2 of chapter 5 of Romans. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then we have justification. As Doug read there in Galatians, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. He said, it's evident. It's never happened. It's never happened. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. No one ever kept the law by faith. The law is not of faith. The law is do or die. It's like the speed limit out there. Drive the speed limit or pay the ticket. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us Gentiles. And it comes on us Gentiles through faith. It says in Acts 13, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. All things. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. How vile. It doesn't matter. You're justified from all things. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, by keeping the law of Moses. And then righteousness. It was written in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We don't work for righteousness. We believe. We believe. We believe God. You know it's only right to believe God. It's only right to believe one who cannot lie. We believe and trust God. We take him at his word. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for everything, for all our acceptance, all our hope, all our plea. Say, when Jesus Christ died, he died for me. That's it. That's it. And here's another blessing, eternal life. Written in John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth, you hear the gospel and you believe it. You believe it. God said, that man, that woman has everlasting life. That's why you believe it. That's why you believe it. It's not if you believe you shall have it. He says you have it. You have it. The evidence of life is this. You believe. Now the apostle says, the just shall live by faith, but my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In him who draws back. In him who takes his sails down. You know, you're on that sea and you got your sail up and it's blowing and you become fearful of wrecking and going in the wrong direction. And you just become fearful and you just pull the sails down. It also has the meaning of coward, drawing back because you are a coward. The persecution that was going on, they became afraid. They became cowards, and they said, "I'm just, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for heaven. I didn't sign up for this." I didn't sign up for the persecution part. And they draw back. They draw back. They're cowards. They shrink. Shrink out of fear. Out of fear. And the apostle says, my soul has no pleasure in this person. You know, light and darkness can't walk together. Light and darkness, darkness can't walk together. You know, someone, if one of you, or me, walk out of here and say, I don't believe that no more. You and I are not going to walk together anymore either. Except two agree, how are they going to walk together? It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. That's why he says, my soul will have no pleasure in this person. It's painful to watch someone who confessed Christ leave. It's painful. Saving faith says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? You really believe you can do that? You know, I believe it was David said, by the Lord's help, I'm going to paraphrase here, by His help, by His grace, by His giving me strength, he said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but my soul's not going to have any pleasure in those who draw back. But here's a word of encouragement. We are not of them who draw back. Now listen, this is how serious this is, unto perdition. They're just not drawing back. And they're not just taking the back seat in the bus. No, this leads to perdition. This leads to hell. Torment. Total destruction. We're not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. True faith will not leave the way and go back. It will not leave the way and go back. It matters not how hot the trial is. It will not leave. Because the Lord said, I'll not lay on you more than you can bear. And whatever He lays on you, He will enable you to bear. Okay? How tough it is, He will enable you to bear it. When you go through the water, He said, I'll go with you. And through the fire, it'll not burn you. You read that, Ed, last Sunday. Whatever He sends our way, He gives us strength to bear. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. God-given faith is a persevering faith. It is a faith born of knowledge, taught of God. All thy children shall be taught of God. Paul said, I know. This is not guesswork. I know whom I believe. I know whom I have believed. And then persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. True faith is persuaded that Jesus Christ is who the Word of God says He is, and that He's enough. He's enough. Jesus Christ is enough. And the Scripture says we are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. God keeps us believing. God keeps His children believing. When the hour is the darkest and you can't see your hand in front of your face, so to speak, and yet you believe God, why? Why? I tell you why. You believe God by His power. He keeps you believing. His Word, God's Word, this is why it's so important to be in His Word. His Word is at work in your heart. And you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. The just, those who are justified, live by faith.